Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we are organized. We just had a lot to get done. I worked this morning until I couldn't keep my head up off the table. And I decided, okay, I think I better go lay down and get some sleep. Yeah, we need to do that.
Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm getting the YouTube video up I want to share with you guys. Because I need everybody to see this video. This happened last night during the night. I'm getting ready to show you something that happened around the world last night while you slept that is end times. So you don't want to miss this, and that's why it's so important. Get here as soon as this program starts because you can't miss this. Now, but Pastor, why did God send me to you instead of somebody else? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Get here. You've got to hear, and you got to be a part of what God's doing. God knows what he's doing. It's way beyond you. It's way beyond me. Sunday changed their clock too. Good for you, Sunday. We're kind of having a celebrate the clock changers here today, Sunday. That's there. That's there. That's there. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. We're glad to have every one of you with us today. Streaming with us on whichever one of these platforms you like and enjoy. And it's been an interesting morning. Even the angels look forward to this time we're in. Yeah, that's awesome,
amen,
Dan.
Amen,
wow, that's
amen.
Sister Phyllis K. Raymond's with us. Mary Pastorick's with us. Rebecca Smith is with us. Good morning. Here we go. This is from Amir Sarfati. He is a Messianic Jew, and he has he lives in Galilee, and he's a newscaster, but this dude's a theologian, too. This man knows how to put this stuff together and make it so that you and I can understand it. Where did my mouse go? Listen, mouse, you can't avoid me. You have to let me click on you. Show up. All right. Can you see him?
Yeah.
All right. Everybody listen real close. Turn the volume up. No. Hey, I'm the one that's in control of my computer. You just do what I say. Are you ready? Here we go. This happened last night during the night.
All of God's children said.
Be nice today. I got my hands full. Being a caregiver today, I'm going to call my phone company and they will help me. We love you, Mary. And we declare this is all set in order. We pray, Father, set things in order for Mary. In Jesus' name. Morning, Rebecca.
Okay, so I'm just going to talk for about another 18 seconds here. Because whatever's going on, we gotta We got to make things happen here.
Sunday, yes, you are on Facebook. I'm not sure if that was a question or not, or if you were letting us know. You are on Facebook. Or unless it was something Pastor was saying. He was working on something right. else, so I wasn't paying a lot of attention. But good morning.
So, good morning. What happened here? Is everybody talking like they're supposed to? All right, well, I guess I'm talking till he's getting ready to start. As you can see, he's got a beautiful picture of himself up and the world and the temple. And the, there he is.
Shalom, everyone. This is Amir Tofati. I am live from Galilee, Israel. These are breaking news. Events that took place in two different parts of the world. They took place hours. Apart, but both of them are very, very unusual and very, very alarming. And I wanted to report that because we've been hearing bits and pieces in the international media, but I want to put everything together, okay? So I want to welcome people from Singapore, Australia, the Philippines, Europe. Some Canadians are still awake. I'm not sure why. But it's good to see you. I'm glad that I know that this is the time where America is asleep. But nevertheless, these are breaking news. I want you to share it with as many people as you can. Again, two major events took place overnight and early morning Israel time. And one of them took place in the Iran-Iraq area, and the other one took place in the Ukraine. This thing. And so we're going to start with the first one, okay? Okay, so March 11, 1:20 a.m. It was March 11 in America, too. It was March 13, 1:20 a.m. We had 12 ballistic surface-to-surface missiles that were fired from Iran towards the American consulate in Erbil in northern Iraq. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a proxy. This is not an Iranian-backed militia in Iraq. This is the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. It's an official Iranian attack on a base that is within the international airport of Erbil in northern Iraq in Kurdistan area. And this is something that you need to understand that is quite unprecedented. This is so far all the attacks on Erbil were of the proxies of Iran. This is something different. 12 ballistic missiles. Let me show you the distance that these missiles did from the Tabriz missile base all the way to the Erbil consulate, 171 miles. That's a very long distance. And 12 ballistic missiles. If you want to see what it looked like, take a look at this video right now. Right. You just saw 12 ballistic missiles hitting Erbil. Now, let me tell you what the Iranian sources are saying. Okay. First of all, official Iran is keeping silent. Okay. So that's one thing. Second, you need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the exact timing was 1:20 a.m. It was exactly the time that Soleimani was killed by the Americans in 2020, if I'm not mistaken, yes. And if that's not January of 2020, if that's not enough, they chose the weekend of the birthday of Soleimani. Probably, see, he's born March 11th, and so this is the weekend of his birthday, that's the time of his death, and that's a symbolic thing. So obviously you said that there's something that they had against America by, while at American base. All of that happens when America is just disgracefully is still running after Iran, begging Iran for another nuclear deal in Vienna. But now, let me tell you what the non or unofficial sources are saying that this attack was all about. So the Iranians for the longest time claimed that the Israeli Mossad has a base of operation in Erbil, right there in that area. They claim that Israel conducted several strikes from that place. And therefore, they say this is the response to the Israeli attack on Iran that came or were commanded from that base. In other words, they're saying, no, we're not attacking Americans. This is not against America.
Yes, you did.
But yet they attacked an American base, and they are attacking an American consulate in a foreign country. So that's a double game that the Iranians are playing. It is a shameful thing that America is still considering even having any deal with Iran. But I want you to know 12 surface-to-surface ballistic missiles hit Erbil overnight at the exact time of the killing of Soleimani, in the exact weekend of the birthday of Soleimani. This is a message that the Americans had to receive from the Iranians. And may I add, all this baloney about Israeli Mossad base is just to cover their tracks and to somehow try not to say what they really did, and that is an official Iranian attack on Americans. Iran attacked America. There's no other way to say that. That happened at 1:20 a.m. Okay, now let me tell you another thing that happened earlier this morning, 2 hours later. Russian Air Force attacked for the first time an international base right there, international base in about 10, 12 miles away from the Polish border. In fact, this is how they posted it. Missile bombing of Ukraine by Russia, where 20 kilometers to the EU and NATO, because that's Poland. So you see that it's even west of Lviv. Now, there are mass casualties there. We're talking about, some reports originally were of 9 dead. Now they're talking about 20 dead and over 50 people wounded. There's a lot of stuff going on there. But this is not a regular attack. This is an attack on a base where Ukrainian soldiers supposedly are being trained by NATO and U.S. forces as peacekeeping forces. Now, that's what they say, peacekeeping forces. I think that what the Russians think is that actually this is an unofficial NATO base within the Ukraine to train the Ukrainians by NATO to fight. And therefore, we are getting closer and closer to the point of clash between Russia and NATO. And this is as close as we got so far. This is a big deal, very big deal.
Very big deal.
And the last thing I want to, if there's more pictures, but just if you go to Telegram, download Telegram Messenger, find my channel there, and you'll be able to see all the pictures, the videos, and everything. I update it every few minutes. The last thing I want to say is that there were some peace talks between Iran and Saudi Arabia over the last few months. Oh, obviously, Saudi Arabia is not a good friend of Iran. Iran is not in love with Saudi Arabia. Iran suspended all talks with Saudi Arabia as of this morning. Why? Because over this weekend, Saudi Arabia executed over 80 radical Islamists, of which over 50 of them were Shiites. And therefore, Iran looked at that as a hostile action, and they suspended all. So we're back on the track of clash between Iranian militias and Saudi Arabia. And so escalation in the Saudi Peninsula, escalation in Europe, and escalation in between Iran and Iraq. And all of that in the background, you see Israel and America. A lot of stuff is going on. And so when we talk about wars and rumors of wars, this is exactly what we're talking about. And if you haven't watched Roundtable that was there last night and on that topic, go ahead and to our YouTube channel, watch the Prophecy Roundtable with Jan Markell, Barry Stagner, Mike Golay, and myself talking about wars and rumors of wars. Good. Thank you. Please share this with as many people as possible. Again, breaking news, 12 ballistic missiles from Iran towards northern Iraq to hit American base. And they claim it's against Israelis, but of course it was the timing of the time and the date as well as the location left no doubt that this is all about Iranian attack on America, some sort of a little tiny revenge on the killing of Soleimani. As much as they can, they will do it because they are suffering from a big shame as their big leader and big hero was killed so easily by the Americans 2.5 years ago. All right, listen, I'll keep you updated. Please share it with as many people as you can. Thank you for answering my plea to.
All right. That's enough of that because we got a lot more to get done today. So we'll come back here to you and I, and then we'll take that apart so that everybody can see and know and understand exactly what he was saying. Now, let me get Zoom. Where did it go? Hey, all of you guys on Zoom, wave your hands so I can find you. There's Zoom. And here's Blog Talk Radio. Everybody's in the rightful place. Now, let's put this together. What he just told us is Iran attacked America last night in the base that we have still in Iraq. That's happened in the middle of the night, last night. It's not a joke. And you and I, we don't want this in any sense of any word. But, of course... And the person that sits in the White House has no guts, no backbone, and is trying to sell us down the river to Iran. Now, I want you to see this, because this is going to take us into our message for today. We're going to put it right into the Word of God. Here's Iran attacking the United States of America, saying, "Oh no, we didn't attack you; we attacked Israel." But they killed Americans. And they're saying to Biden, give us the $90 billion for our nuclear. Give it to us. But don't give that $1 billion to Israel. That's what happened last night. Who knows how many American soldiers were killed this morning in that base in Iraq by Iran. What you got to see, guys, is this thing is going just slapjack crazy right in front of your eyes. You might say, Pastor, I don't know what slapjack crazy is. Well, you need to live in Kentucky for a few years in order to be able to get that. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24. And let's go right to the Word of God. And we'll get ourselves going in the Word. I'm going to stay right in the Word. This is not only an end times update of news in this day, but this is also an end time update saying this is where we are spiritually. Get your stuff together and keep it together. Stop playing any kind of spiritual game. You cannot play around in this day. This is not a day to be fooling around. Now watch this. I'm going to Matthew chapter 24. This is Jesus talking about the time of the end. Let's see if I can get my notes up here where I can see them. Get the notes in the front where you see them. I did send the share into the messenger thread on the family, so all of you can send this to all of your family, your friends, whoever it is in your life that's still listening to you. I want to give you a word today that is an extreme warning to you. to every one of us. We've got to be so accurate right now in our Christian life. Matthew chapter 24, let's begin with verse 3, and it actually runs clear down through, it's this whole chapter, clear through 51, but we're going to start at verse 3. And yeah, that's good. Just put it in like that. I'm going to go to verse 3, and I'm just going to grab some verses. Matthew 24, verse 3. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be, and when will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age. You and I are living in an age. It's called the age of the church, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the called out ones. God's governing body of authority on this earth. You and I are living in that day right here, right now. Now, that's exciting. That's amazing. That's exhilarating. Let's go get the work done. Look at verse 4, Matthew 24, 4. Take heed that no one deceives you. The greatest thing that's going to go on in this day is good people you and I love and know and enjoy a relationship with are going to be deceived by whom? The devil in a red suit with a forked tail saying, hi, I'm the devil? No, you're going to be deceived by humans who are going to say a good thing and then do something else. That's what just happened by Iran attacking the United States of America last night. And then Russia attacking the base that's right next to the NATO base. Who knows how many American troops in that attack were killed last night. Say it with me. No one will deceive me.
No one will deceive me.
Go with me to hold your place in Matthew 24. I'm coming back there. 20. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You've got to see this word. Embrace this word. Please embrace this word. I'm not an alarmist saying, woo, running hide. No, I'm saying get out and tell everybody. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. Know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men and women will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God. This book was written to the church. This is the Apostle Paul telling you these are going to be people in the church claiming to be in God, and these people are in the church today, right now. This is church people he's talking about. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, from such people turn away. He didn't say be nasty, be mean, be full of hate, be obnoxious. He just said, you got to shut the door on some people and say, nope, I'm having nothing to do with you because you qualify in verses 2 through 4. And I won't have anything to do with you. If you, Mr. Traitor, Mr. Heady, Mr. High-minded, Mr. Hater of God, if you want to come to my world where I love Jesus and do my thing, then you will leave where you are, admit where you're wrong, and come over here. But otherwise, you're a deceiving voice, and you will not be in my life.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, that's just mean. No, listen, I want you to get it. You hear that? That's hard. Watch this. This shirt is soft. This is truth.
Yeah. Amen.
The opposite of truth is not hard. The opposite of truth is error and deception. What was the first thing Jesus said over there? Let no one deceive you. The devil's not coming with a pitchfork and a red suit. He's coming in a human who's going to look at you and say, no, 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 just stay here and listen to me. Let me do this to you. No, get away. The 10 virgins were all virgins. 5 were wise and had more than enough oil. 5 were foolish and did not have enough oil. 5 made it in and 5 did not make it to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Virgins who were not prepared, who did not keep enough oil in their vessel. Now, I want you to see this. From now till Jesus comes, people are going to be coming to you saying, give me your oil. Oh, no, 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 you don't get my oil. Get your own oil. Let me show you how to get your own oil. You don't get my oil. I'm not missing the door. Let no one deceive you. Verses 2-4 are deceiving people. Look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Let me tell you something. Until the day Jesus comes, I can teach you how to get your own oil in 20 minutes on any day. And you'll have your own oil. But you ain't getting mine. Now, it only takes me 20 minutes to show you how to have your own oil. But you got to. But you got to go after your own oil because you can't, my oil won't do you any good. Because when you stand before God, you got to have your own jar of oil. God's not going to judge you whether or not you have my oil. He's going to judge you on whether or not you have your own oil. And I'm showing you right now how to get your own oil and keep your jar of oil full. Number one way to keep your jar of oil full is praying in the Holy Ghost. Number one, easy. You just pray in the Holy Ghost all day long. Anytime you're not in English, pray in the Holy Ghost. You keep your oil full. Praise the Lord. You got to live in a relationship with God. You don't have to be a weird religious person standing on the corner with your Bible up saying, Jesus has come. No, don't be a weirdo. We don't need any weirdos right now. We need solid, stable believers. Look at verse 7. These people are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They'll give you a big old long religious spiel and put artifacts of history and stuff in it, names of people in history, and you'll look at it and you'll say, well, I don't make a lick of sense about nothing. Name it what it is. That's a deceptive spirit come to stop you. In the last month, I've shut the door on about 5 people. Nope. I don't want nothing to do with you. You sound religious. You look religious. You act religious. You're a deceiving spirit. No. I love you. All y'all come. But no, you're not going to have a personal conversation with me because in your words are the deceptive words of the devil trying to tell me I don't know what I believe. And I'm telling you right now, I know what I believe, and this is what I know. You are deceived. I said it to him. You are deceived. I'll have nothing to do with it. Pastor, aren't you worried about if they cry or that hurts their feelings? What's going to hurt their feelings more? Them going to hell for eternity? Or me saying to them, you are deceived by the devil. Turn from your ways.
Yeah.
See, the prophet said, if you don't tell people where they're wrong, their blood will be on your hands. How to tell deceived people you're deceived. It's real quiet in this holy convocation this morning. But Look at verse 9, 2 Timothy 3:9. They will progress no farther, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Janus and Jambres. One of the most destructive forces in this last day are people who were good Christians who would not tell deceptive people to get out of their life. And that's going to cause many people to miss the rapture. Do not be one of those people.
And most of that is because they don't want to let go of their earthly things. They want to play Christian but still hold on to the world.
Ready? I'm back in Matthew 24. Don't worry, in the next 25 minutes, this thing's going to go from here, clear to the top of the mountain of faith. Just stick with me. Jesus said, let no one deceive you. Many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, and the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. I'm in Matthew 24. Verse 8, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now listen to me. There's over 45 earthquakes every day measured around the world. 45 a day. 45 earthquakes a day.
And that is like triple just in this last year.
Oh, it's amazing. And here's the thing. There's going to be a bigger earthquake happen on the day of the rapture. And you and I are going to be out of here. If you miss the rapture because you've been listening to the deceiving spirit, I'm going to tell you right now, you have got to get yourself just focused. What's an example of a Christian being deceived? Well, number one, let's just talk about a couple of things about deceived Christians. Number one, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to be connected to a church. I can just serve God over here all by myself. No, that is not the Bible. I can listen to 25 different preachers and it have no effect on me. That is not the God's truth. God gave you a pastor, stick with him. Or her, whatever it is. My money doesn't matter in God. Your money matters very much in God where you're putting your money right now. You're putting your money into preachers that teach you that you can sin every day, word, thought, and deed, and it's no big deal against God. That is a point of deception. Right now, here's another example of a Christian being deceived. They're mixing the Holy Spirit with a deceiving spirit of witchcraft. They're mixing Eastern religion. The word karma is not a word Christians should be using. That comes from Hinduism. They're mixing it with Islam. They're mixing it with Hindu. They're mixing it with Buddha. And watch this. Nobody be offended. I've not been looking at anybody's page this morning. Haven't been on YouTube in quite a while or Facebook in quite a while. But some people are sharing posts that are from Buddha and Muhammad and from Hinduism. And yeah, and witchcraft and astrology. You're mixing your religion, your God, Jesus, with a demonic spirit. You've got to watch what you... I posted three things the other day. I was on Facebook for a bit. Man, everybody had these good posts. I was sharing them. I put it up and then took it down because of the page where it was from. Why? Because it was a godly statement coming from a witchcraft site. You might say, well, Pastor, how will I know if it's a witchcraft site? Just scroll down a little bit and see if they're giving glory to the Mother Earth, to the sun, the moon, the stars. And if there's no post in there that's about Jesus and he's Lord, then delete the page and never go back there, because otherwise, Mary, I'm your pastor and you come here.
Yes,
stick with us here is what I'm telling you.
Yeah,
I am your pastor. Stick with me. You're doing it. It's not about a building anymore.
No. You're maintaining your relationship with Jesus, and you're part of this community of faith.
Now watch. You might say, Pastor, you seem intense. Guys, I'm watching good Christians right now spin off because they're freaked and they're listening to 25 different voices. 25 different voices in your life right now, it's going to cause you confusion. And you won't know who to listen to. And you'll start saying, I don't know who's right and who's wrong. You might say, Pastor, do you think you're right? I know I'm right. I've been with the same preacher for 30 years. I know he's right. We follow this book. I don't know how else to get this to you. The number one thing that you and I have got to watch for in the end time is deception. People saying, well, you don't have to tithe. Yes, you do. Well, you don't have to read your Bible like they say. Yes, you do. You're doing a good job,
that's
Mary.
That's how you keep your oil full.
How you keep this oil full.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I don't want anybody to take me this morning as a rebuke. I am challenging you to take this next step up and go to a whole new level in God from where you have been. But I can see it. In the last 5 days, last week, I've seen three people in my life spin out. Three totally different people, totally unconnected. They don't know each other in any sense of the word. You know what's interesting about it? All three of them said the exact same words. They don't know each other. They are all being led by this demonic, Catholic, witchcraft. And there's another voice in there. I don't know what it is. They've got this gobbledygook statement about God and church and religion. It's mixed with the worship of the stars, the sun, the earth. It's got a demon's voice in it, and it's all wrapped up in Catholicism. If they're not telling you Jesus is Lord and he's the only way to salvation, and they're giving you all this garbage, shut the door on them. Why? That voice did not come to give you truth. That voice came to confuse you. And Jesus said that's the number one thing that's going to happen in the last day is deception. If it sounds like the devil, what should we probably say? That is the devil. But if you don't stick with the word of God, and stick with your pastor and where God's led you, you're going to be deceived because you got too many voices. The number of people I'm listening to is shrinking, shrinking, shrinking. Why? Because I'm not going to be led astray by a demonic word in a preacher's mouth standing on a big stage with a good rock band. Pastor, who are you angry at? I'm not. I'm watching good people, and they're gone.
God's word is truth. Amen.
And they're gone. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to stick with these verses I'm telling you today till Jesus comes. I'm going to reach every person within my strength to reach. But I'm going to be real quick to tell people, dude, you are listening to a deceiving spirit. You got to stop. And then I'm going to give them about five of my videos and say, you need to listen to this. And I've got three of John Bevere videos ready that are, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. That's what Jesus is going to say to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. A demon will not say Jesus is Lord. You and I are going to see in the end that some people will say, well, Jesus is Lord, but you're going to get some demonic people to say, well, yeah, Jesus is Lord, but Anybody that says but after Jesus is Lord, mark their voice as a demonic spirit that has come to take you out. I'm done. Did I labor the point long enough?
I think so. If anybody has any questions, type them in.
Verse 10, Matthew 24:10. Many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. God-loving, good people who the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, you need to be here doing this with this group of people. It literally says that they will turn on one another and hate one another. They will have received signs, wonders, and miracles and deliverance, and they will literally turn and hate one another. Here's the revelation. You can't get into heaven if you're hating someone.
Amen.
Yeah, Dave, the funny book that was given to you the other day. The Mormons, the Latter-day Saints, Seventh-day Adventists, all those cults are out just going like crazy, handing out their stuff. They're cults. Do not accept it. Do not be a part of it. When they say Jesus is Lord, but then just say it. That's a deceiving spirit. Get out of my life. I'll have nothing to do with you. Some of us, I'm telling you, you can't just accept any Facebook friend any longer. You better know who you're making a friend with on Facebook. Why? Because the devil is sending wicked people in to destroy your life. When God wants to bless you, he brings you a person. When the devil wants to destroy you and curse you, he brings a person. Keep reading. I'm in Matthew 24:10. Many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. False prophets will rise up and deceive many. 12, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Go with me now to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. That was all my end time warning to you today. The biggest thing you got to be worried about is not Russia, China, Iran, Syria. You don't have to be worried about them. God's going to deal with them. Mm-hmm. Pray for the people in Ukraine. Pray for the leader of Ukraine. Pray for our troops that are with NATO, wherever they are over there. We got thousands of troops that have been deployed right now. Pray for them every day. But you better pray in such great faith every day that you look yourself in the mirror and say, man, you've turned into a different person. You have. Why? Because you got serious with God's holy word. This is not a day to fool around in your Christian life. This is not a day to fool around. Genesis chapter 17. This is Abraham. God came to him in chapter 12. And by chapter 17, he's rich, he's blessed, he's powerful, he's strong. And the enemy's going, woo! Who are you? He took, in chapter 14, he's got quite a band. Abraham and the ranch hands. They're quite a band. Abraham and the ranch hands, there was 318 of them. They went and took out four kings worth of armies. Now we're in chapter 17. Look at this. When Abram was 90 years old, verses 1 through 9. Thank you. Man, I'm fired up and ready to go. Amen, Audrey. God's word, the Holy Bible, is truth. When Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you. Kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant with you, between me and you, and your descendants after you and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant between you and your descendants after you throughout all generations. Now watch. What did God tell Abraham in verse 5? No longer shall your name be called Abraham, or Abram, but Abraham. I want you to think about this. God knew if Abram continually walked around being Abram, that Abram would never see what God wanted him to see about the father of many nations. So what did God say to Abram? Change your name and tell everyone around you, my name is Abraham. What does Abraham mean? The father of many nations. I want you to see this. When Abraham was still barren, when Sarah had no baby, when he was 90 years old, God said, walk around and tell everybody what your new name is. What was Abraham doing? He was calling things that were not as though they were.
Amen.
What does this have to do with end times, Pastor? In order for you and I to blaze a trail across the finish line here, we got to call ourselves who we are in God, the new name that has been given unto us. You might say, I got a new name? Yeah. He who endures to the end, when you read the book of Revelation, the first three chapters, and the churches, every one of them got a new name. I'm going to write on you a name. I'm going to give you a new name. I will not blot your name out of the book of life. You have a new name. My name is Samuel John Cottle. But in the realm of the spirit, my name isn't Samuel John Cottle. My name is redeemed. My name is sanctified. My name is righteous in Jesus' eyes. My name is king and priest to my God. I have a new name. Say it with me. I have a new name. Everywhere Abraham went, they would say, and who's this? And he'd put his hand out and say, hi, my name is Abraham, the father of many nations. What was he doing? He was proclaiming who he was according to God's assignment in his life. Well, Pastor, God's never given me an assignment. Yes, he did. Redeemed. What does it mean? Bought back. Justified, just as if I never sinned. Reconciled, made one with the Father. You ready for this? Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. I'm not turning there. Put the reference in so it's in the notes, but watch this. You are a king and a priest under God. Pastor, I'm not. I'm just barely making it as a Christian. No. Use your new name. Justified, just as if I never sinned. I have been redeemed. I have been reconciled. Every sin is placed in remission. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. I am a king and a priest unto God. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm not that. I know you are, but I'm not. I'm still struggling. No, the only way you no longer struggle is to name yourself the name God put on you. Say it. I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
You are.
I don't think
you... Ready? I'm a minister of reconciliation.
I'm a minister of reconciliation.
I am an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven.
I am an
heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus.
I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus.
I am a child of Almighty God.
A child of Almighty God.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, Sunday. I said that same thing. Sunday just said, forgive me, Lord. She posted it.
Yeah, okay.
God, forgive me, Lord God, for anything I've shared that's not of you. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, why are you giving us these warnings? Because everybody on your Facebook page is watching who you align yourself with. You ready? There's one important person that watches every one of your pages, and they report to me. I don't know if you knew this or not. I have a person who's watching every one of your pages, and that person reports to me. Now, you know what his name is? Holy Spirit. But he doesn't say Sister Sunday posted this. He just tells me to come on and start preaching, and while I'm preaching, you're like, whoa, I got to get that off my Facebook page. I got to get rid of that person on my Facebook page. I had somebody ask me to be a friend with them on Facebook the other day. It took me 20 minutes searching their site to even find one word about Jesus. I'm like, no, you don't even have any desire for God. You got rock bands. You got spiritualistic stuff. You got demonic stuff. You got Hindu stuff. And I had to go like 20 minutes to find one word about Jesus? No. You don't have a desire for God. Go ahead.
So this is a question for all of our ambassadors and disciples out here, because I know all of these people are ambassadors and disciples that will want to disciple those people, thinking maybe they're wanting to come to God. Where's that line?
Where's the line about who you disciple and who you don't?
Yes.
He rewards those who diligently seek him. If you can't find on their Facebook page any post that has a desire for God, where they're actually posting, I want you, God, I want you, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior, then they're just out being religious, and they're sent to you. Yeah, but Pastor, what if they want Jesus? They'll show up where you and I are right here. This is very public. That was a lady that was trying to be my friend. I don't know. My first thought was, well, maybe she came and saw the program. So I clicked on her page and I started scrolling. I'm like, are you kidding me? You got stuff about witchcraft. You got stuff about Hinduism. You got stuff about astrology and all these little posts that's like, well, click this button and it'll tell you your five animal natures you have. You don't have an animal nature. You are born of Almighty God. You're not a serpent, a pig, a cow, a horse, a duck, a sheep, a cat, or a dog. Don't play with that demonic. That is the demon that comes with the Chinese religion.
And that is a huge thing right there, a huge thing to look at when you're deciding if you're going to disciple something. If they're truly seeking Jesus, they'll get rid of all of that stuff. Even if they don't know what to post on there that's right, they know what's wrong, and they'll get rid of that stuff, and then you know they're reaching.
They're reaching, and listen, they know where to find us.
Yes.
They know how to find us. Somehow that person found me, so that means they know where I'm at. Then come over here and start chasing God. But I'm not going to go your way. I'm telling you guys. My granddaughter Carrie's little baby girl was baptized today.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
I love that.
Yeah, well, dedicated. I don't know about baptized. You can't be baptized till you're old enough to know what you're doing, but at least dedicated to the things of God.
Right.
Let's get back to our point here. God changed Abraham's name and said, from now on, call yourself this name. Guys, you and I got to call ourselves the name that we are. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I don't even know how to do that, all right? I've taught this in many lessons, but this is the cool thing. I'm going to teach it in every lesson from now till Jesus comes. You got to get your notebook. You got to get your mind organized. You need a pen to go along with your notebook. And you need to begin taking notes. And you need to write some notes down. This was my notes from Brother Dan's message right there. You gotta take some notes. Well, how do I name myself the name that God wants me to name myself? You've gotta start writing down the verses that declares who you are. And then begin to say those verses and only those verses all day long till it gets inside here. Pastor, can you please teach us a series of messages that shows us how to do that? Yes. Don't be offended when I say this. I've done it 3 times now. Now watch. I want you to get this. I'm going to give you those verses again right now. Get a piece of paper and a pen, and I'm going to give you a reference for everything I just said. I want you to write that reference down. I want you to shut off every teacher you listen to. I want you to spend an hour or two this afternoon in silence writing out verses on a piece of paper in your life that will change you. Or open up your phone, copy and paste out of your Bible. I like it better when it's written. Make you a note. And then spend the next 5 days all day long in that note, getting it established inside of you, your new name. Everywhere Abraham went, he said, hi, my name is Abraham. You've heard it in Sister Francetta. Hi, I have a new nature.
Yes.
I have a new DNA. I am the daughter of a king. You've been hearing her say it. Mm-hmm. But here's what happens when we do this. It changes the picture of who you are on the inside. The only reason you still struggle with any of this world is you've not changed the picture of who you are in here. You're still struggling with a picture that comes from something that happened in the past, and there's only one way to change it. Put you. I can't do it for you. I can put a 55-gallon barrel of anointing oil in the middle of the floor and dunk you in and hold you under till you fight for breath and pull you up, and it ain't going to do nothing for you if you don't get a piece of paper, write the verses down, and you begin to put them in your heart. I don't care if you listen to Dr. Barclay, Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts, Lester Sumrall, Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Bill Winston, and Keith Moore all in one day. It is of no value to you if you do not have your new name written inside your heart.
Amen.
All of their revelation is wonderful. They're almighty men of God. However, when you stand before Jesus, he is not going to say to you, what did Brother Copeland say? He's going to say, what did you do with my son, Jesus? And I took life too serious. Mary, it's like Jesus in the garden. Mary, Lord, watch this. You and I are going to stand in front of Jesus. And thank God for all these great men of God. I've told you to listen to some of them. But in the last 6 months, I've been telling you, you got to shut all those voices off. You've got to get a piece of paper out. I recommend you keep it in a notebook, because then you can go back. Hold on just a second. You can go back on 13 February 2022 and pull up your note and say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I was saying then. Wow, look at that. Wow. His grace is so amazing. Wow, that's amazing. What are you doing? You're going back here in your book and you're finding out what you've said, because when you stand before Jesus, he's not going to ask you what anybody else said. You won't be judged by what Brother Copeland, Dr. Barkley, Mrs. B. You're not going to be judged by anything that any of those people did. You're going to be judged by what you have done with Jesus yourself. Thank God we've got good leaders. Thank God. Thank God that there's great music teams that have given us great music and worship from around the world. But when you're all done, at the end of the day, did you actually worship God yourself, or did you come and play to God another song by another person? Ready? Who am I in Christ? This did not finish my notes. I'm a long ways from my notes, but I'm going to get back there to my notes before I'm done. Here's the number one thing you got to write down. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm going slow on purpose. Second Corinthians 5:17. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I think it's 18 and 19. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. Just a second, let me get there. I'm doing it from memory, but that's all right. Yeah, 18. I am a minister of reconciliation. 5:18, I'm a minister of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19. I want them all separate, yes. There is no record of my sins anywhere. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. 2 Corinthians 5:20. I'm just pausing, giving everybody a chance to write. 2 Corinthians 5:20. I am an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. The Holy Spirit is making this very simple, because we're in one chapter. This is like the most important chapter almost of the whole New Testament, almost, at least of this page. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I have become the righteousness of God. Second Corinthians 5:21. I have become the righteousness of God. See, guys, in this last day, I've been hearing Pastor Dr. Barclay talk about this for years. In this last day, the number one thing that's going to destroy people is deception. When you get these verses down inside of you, this is the message that God has given this ministry. I am called by God to preach it. You are called by God to help me preach it. There's a hundredfold return waiting for you in heaven and on earth right now to help me preach this gospel. Up until this point, it's not even cost us a lot of money to go out there somewhere, find a building, have a crusade. It's just you and I hammering it out right here, sharing it with people. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Here's the 92nd lady. It can't have been that long already. I must not have scheduled that right somehow. God bless the 92nd lady. For Revelation 1, 5 and 6. I am a king and a priest unto God. I know I heard somebody just say, but Pastor, I'm not there yet. I can see it's in you, but it's not in me. It is in you. You've just not said it enough that it's changed the image down in here yet. Yeah, but I don't know how to change the image. There's only one way anybody has ever changed that image, and that is they got a piece of paper. They wrote the verses down, and then they spoke it and spoke it and spoke it out loud out of their voice so their eyes can see, their ears can hear, their mouth has spoken it, and it goes down in and changes the image on the inside. It's going to take you a number of days. Ready? I say this with the greatest of love. Get busy. I got more than 10 seconds, lady. Stop talking like that.
But I am going to shut you off.
Wouldn't that be wild? If in 10 seconds, we're out of here. Oh, we should have believed her finally for once. See, every great story of every great man or woman of God, there's only one way they ever became great in the kingdom. And that is they finally said, hold on, I got to get this word in my heart, and I got to drive it in so deep that there ain't nothing that's ever going to take it out. And the only way you do that is you got to open your mouth. You got to read it. Now, listen, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not much into writing it down anymore. Well, then you got to be like me over here. I'll show you what I got going. I right here. What I did is I made a daily sowing confession. And as you can see, it's got a whole bunch of verses in there. And what I did, I just copied and pasted them in there. I made all the verses personal to me. I took all the these and thous out, and I put it in the New King James. And then I changed the tense of the nouns and the pronouns so it's talking about me. You can't keep saying you and them and they and those and expect the word to get in you and make you a different person without changing the tense of those pronouns to say, this is for me. You have got to make this word for you. You're like, Pastor, you're really intense about this. I'm intense because I've just seen three people I know go, phew. And they'll probably miscapture. One of them is mocking and feigning to be a preacher. That's scary. If you don't know you're called to do this by Almighty God, and you have apostolic and authority behind you to get it done, and you're standing up in front of people saying, follow me, oh my Lord Jesus, you are in danger of Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus looks at you and says, I'm sorry, I don't know you, depart from me, I cast out demons in your name. Well, all right, I don't know you. Some of these big name preachers with big buildings and fancy rock bands with their clothes all torn and tattoos and more tattoos, and then they get more tattoos and then they get more tattoos after they become a worship leader so they can draw all the people that have tattoos to come and worship with them. That is not God. You don't become like the world to win the world. The world don't want you like them. The world wants somebody that's different, other, and has been delivered from all of that. God ain't going to send nobody to hell for a tattoo, but he might not let you in if you're a Christian and you get a whole bunch of stupid tattoos on your body so you can win somebody in the world. You're using your flesh to win what? You got to wear ratty jeans so you can what? Draw somebody that's wearing ratty jeans? Wait. You're going to have a big rock band and a fancy light show and smoke to do what? Where is that in the Bible? Now watch. Pastor, do you have a problem with any of that? Not a bit of it. I like it all. If you listen to the music I like, you know I like rock and roll. I like it loud, and I like a really severe guitar lick, man. I love it. But I got a word for you. If it doesn't carry anointing that delivers and sets free, all we've done is had a rock and roll show. Now, it ain't nothing wrong with it as long as it's in the name of Jesus, but you got to glorify the Lord, not the person. That's an excellent question, Rebecca. I'll tell you what Dr. Jack... what was his middle name? Jack C. London, I think is his name. Dr. Jack London, a big African-American preacher in Saginaw, Michigan. I don't know. I'm not sure what the name of his church was. But he's a big man, and he had a real deep voice, and he'd been a pastor for about, I don't know, 50 years. And, of course, he was pastor in Saginaw, Michigan for 50 years. So the man has been in a combat zone for, you know, his whole life on the south side of Chicago, or south side of Saginaw. We're on Ask the Pastor one day, and he's sitting next to me. Whoever was between us that had the, we said alphabetical order, he's sitting next to us. Somebody asked that question. How do you know when you're called to be a pastor? And he goes, well, I wish I could get my voice as deep as his. Well, Sonny, he said, if you have nothing to say, shut up.
Yeah.
And he said, once you've studied the Bible long enough and know God good enough and you can't shut up, well, then stand up and speak up. That was awesome. We all kind of just looked at him and then said, amen, brother. That's the right answer right there. Oh, what is, everybody's got a call here.
Yeah.
Quit looking at pastor, prophet, evangelist, apostle, teacher. Quit, don't look at those gifts. Go to Romans chapter 12 and find yourself in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. That's where I've been trying to get for the last three nights on the evening program. But it's okay. You guys kept throwing the pitch, man. I was knocking it out of the park. It doesn't matter because we had a good time. Let's get focused on where we're at. Okay. The title for today's program right now, this hour of faith, is Change Your Name. Be the next name in the faith chapter. Now, I didn't even get you out of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 yet, and I gave you five different names that's yours. Oh, yeah, I did. We've made it to Revelation 1. You've got to begin saying about yourself what God said. Yeah, thank you, Leanne. That's a great verse. Deuteronomy 14:2. You are a holy people. So take the you out. I am a holy people to the Lord my God. And the Lord has chosen me to be a special people for himself. I am a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Well, Pastor, don't you think it's just a little arrogant that you're calling yourself special above everybody? I didn't think it was arrogant to call myself a son of Robert J. Cobb. Ain't none of the rest of my friends could call themselves a son of Robert J. Cobble. They all had different daddies. See what the enemy wants to do? You can't talk about yourself that way. That's arrogant. You shut up, you foul devil. It is exactly who I am in God Almighty. Pastor, you say this like this is combat. I'm telling you right now, this is probably the most serious combat you and I are going to have to do from now until the trumpet blows, is to stand in who we are. Amen. And continually to shut off voices like, whoops, you ain't a voice I'm listening to another day. Why? That guy, I just heard a preacher the other day say something. I'm like, well, I ain't listening to you no more. I don't even remember what it was. Remember what it was? We said it. We both said it. We're like, well, that ain't right. Never listen to another message, Em. I don't care how many of you send it to me. Pastor, I just need to know who it is. No, you need to know who you are.
Yes. Amen.
Because if you know who you are, if somebody turns that stuff on around you, you'll be like, whoa, that's the wrong voice. That's the wrong voice. And you got to shut it off. You got to shut off the news media that's pumping you with garbage. You don't even know if it's real. You got to make the most powerful voice in your life, the voice that's telling you to be righteous, be holy, be separate, be other to God. You're just too intense, Pastor. No, no, I don't think I'm intense enough, actually. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I got to get these verses in, and chapter 5, and then we'll be done for today. Some of you, I gave you 6 verses. That is enough right now for you to focus on for 1 week. To drive those verses down in your life. I got to grab me that paper right there that says, I do what I see my father do. See this paper? All right, this is the paper I made. The first prayer of the day. I do what I see my Father doing. I appropriate my inheritance. This is what I'm working on every day. This is what Sister Leanne's working on every day. We are our focus right now. We've already established heir of God, joint heir with Jesus. New creation, minister of reconciliation, ambassador of the kingdom, heaven, the righteousness of God. That is so deep inside of us, it just comes out of our mouth automatically. So where we are right now is, I only do what I see my Father do. This is something we're saying every day, all day long, night and day. I am learning to appropriate my inheritance. We're saying it every day. I wrote it right here on this piece of paper. Can you see it?
Uh-huh.
More than enough. I see my Father's works. more than enough silver and gold, more than enough skilled workers, and more than enough inheritance. Guys, it's not fancy. I can't sell 10 million of them at Walmart, but what is it? It hangs right there on the door of the closet in the studio, and every time I look up, it says, I do what I see my Father doing. Automatically, when I see it, I say this, I only say what I hear my Father say. What are you doing, Pastor? I am getting this truth so established down inside of me that it comes out of me no matter what happens.
Amen.
Ready? 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 18. I cannot read all of these.
Sorry, what was it again?
1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 18. I'm going to pick it up in 11. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 18. I'm picking it up in 11. That you aspire to lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Do the work with your own hands like we commanded you. That you walk properly to those who are outside. That you may lack nothing. Watch this. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, considering those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Just keep listening. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even to God, even so God will bring those back to life. Verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, those who have died in the Lord. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. 17, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. Concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I would write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, you're not in the darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You and I are in the light. Verse 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, 5. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. There you go with another title of who you are. I am the sons of the light and the sons of the day. Do not sleep as others do, but be sober and watch. Those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk, drunk at night. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, a helmet, the hope of salvation. 9, God did not appoint us to wrath. I have been appointed to salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or asleep, we would live together with him. Look at what it says. Comfort one another with these words. Edify one another just as you also are doing. Well, here's the revelation. I've given you this morning what God gave me. And mixed in with what God gave me is all y'all that showed up, and everybody's going to come watch it in the future. Not everything I said was pointed to you people. Please do not take this message that way. Show up, grab a hold of what's yours, say, wait a minute, I got to get that, that, and that. I'm going to put that in me right now. And the rest of it, shout, glory, hallelujah. You know this thing about watch what you're posting? The other day after I posted that one thing, I'm like, hold it. Hold it, Sam. Get real. So I scrolled back through my news feed. saying, what have I posted down in here? Sure enough, I got down there somewhere, and I'm like, well, that one got by me. Delete. It was even a good statement. Came from a perverse site.
And I have to be better about watching that, too, because I don't always.
When I got to that statement, I'm like, uh-oh, what is this thing? And when I clicked it, there's half-naked women running around. An old, just a good redneck site. Excuse me. Just because you're redneck don't mean you have to be perverse.
I'm posting a couple more verses in here that Rebecca put in here about who we are, too.
Amen. Thank you. Come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. Yeah, I didn't see that you posted that, but thank you. We are separate. I will be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters. Amen, says the Lord God Almighty. Add another one in there. Add the reference, Romans 8, 11 through 17. That's filled with who we are in Christ. But see, guys, Abraham had to change his name. God commanded him to. If you spend the rest of your life saying, well, you know, it's how I grew up. It's what I've always been. It's what I'll be. Jesus loves me anyways. Jesus does love you anyways. Nobody's questioning whether or not Jesus loves you. I'm encouraging you to enter in yourself and become like Abraham, who God made you. Because there's a lot of people that say, well, you know, God just loves me like I am. Well, he does. But he loves you enough to help you change.
Yeah.
Because if you're not being the temple that he can dwell in, he has to continually cause you to change. You and I have just read through it in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. There was not allowed any uncleanness near the tabernacle anywhere lest they died. And you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what Rebecca added there. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you are holding on to sin and the flesh, the Holy Spirit is going to continually look at you and say, you got to get rid of this. You got to get rid of this. You've got to get rid of this. He's not being mean. He's not being anything except this is keeping you from being the temple of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. Father, help us not only change our name, but change the image of who we are in you on the inside. Help us. Help us change the image of who we are in you on the inside. Father, bless every shepherd today that's preaching your gospel. May the ones that speak in the truth grow, develop, be strong. May those playing a religious game come to their senses and change immediately and just stand up in front of their congregation saying, hold it, I've been saying this all wrong and I'll never say it again. And if you don't want to follow me, that's up to you. Go away, but I will not go away from the word of God. Silence the mouth of those who know they're wrong, have admitted they're wrong to other people, and have said, yeah, but look at the crowds we're drawn with it. Silence their mouths, Lord. May dark become dark and light become very light. And may we run to the glory cloud and run away from the wickedness. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We're going to receive communion. While you're getting your communion elements ready, I need to say this by the Holy Spirit. If you're a pastor and you're listening to me today, and you say, you got right in my stuff, Pastor Sam, I didn't do it. I don't know who you are. I had nobody in my eyes when I said it. I'm obeying the Holy Spirit of God. If you know you've been teaching wrong and you've told your staff, hey, at least it's drawing a bigger crowd and our tithe is, numbers are up. You got to repent of your sin because you're going to stand in front of Jesus someday and give an account of that. Like real soon. Just change. It doesn't matter who goes away. The cleanliness of your house, the purity of the people that's left will be worth every bit of it. And they'll know that you stand for something and you're not afraid to stare the devil in the face or anybody else in the face. They encourage you to stand up and be that strong. If people go away from you, let them go. It doesn't matter. You must be a bearer of truth. I encourage you, put the books down and open up God's word. Do not keep reading everybody else's verse. Open the New Testament and your Bible program and search the doctrine of regeneration, reconciliation, redemption. Because when you stand before Jesus, he's not going to care what any of the great leaders of this day have said. He might have told those people to write those books. And then maybe he didn't tell them to write the books. They just know if they write a new book, they'll sell 10 million copies. And it'll make them worth $10 million more. I heard a man say that. Well, they said, well, God told you to write this book? No, uh-uh. No, we got 10 million followers, and if I write a new book, they'll all buy it. God wants me blessed. He does want you blessed.
He does want you blessed.
I bless you in Jesus' mighty name. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Wow. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Thank you for being our partners and friends and sticking with us. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let a man, verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, God's perfect love is perfected on us in this. This is our name. As he is, so are we in this world. He's the head, we're the body. That's who you are. Perfect love. Cast out fear and all the trauma and torment that goes with it. Trauma. Put your hands on yourself and just say, trauma, get out of my life.
Trauma, get out of my
in
life.
Every area.
In every area.
In Jesus' name. There is no fear in love, and there is no fear in the communion service. In Jesus' mighty name. This is a very impassioned plea this morning to each of you to learn who you are in Christ Jesus. And right now, we're going to receive these communion elements because we're washed in the blood and partakers of the broken body of Jesus. pray this prayer of salvation with me, prayer of rededication, or just faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, I'm going to proclaim it again. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
And John 1:12.
And John 1:12.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me
and I will life. Not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again.
And you rose again.
On the third day.
On the third day.
And gave me life.
And gave me life.
Put your hands out like this and just say it. I receive you in my life right now.
I receive you into my life right now.
All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
All of your love.
All of your love.
All of the cleansing factors of your blood.
All of the cleansing factors of
your blood. I receive your righteousness.
I receive your righteousness.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. I love saying this every time. You just went from darkness to light. Why? Jesus, the light of the world, filled you. You just went from fear to faith. Why? Because Jesus just came in and he's the author and finisher of your faith and he lives inside of you. You just went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness because just like we studied a minute ago, he has made you into his righteousness. You can literally now say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know. I know. There's a lot of people that says, that's really bold. No, that's just who we are. That's just who we are. Father looked at Jesus and said, adopt them. Say it with me. I am adopted into this family.
I am.
Heir of God.
And
a joint heir with Jesus.
And joint heir with Jesus.
I not only got a name change.
I not only got a name change.
I got a DNA change.
I got a DNA change. Amen.
Yeah. This is your first step if you're a new believer. It's just the first step. This isn't the completion. First step. And from now on, you walk with God as a believer. Don't worry about the rules and regulation of Christianity. Just walk with your Father God every day. He will guide you into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His name's sake. He'll send you to a group of believers like ours that's filled with faith, filled with love, filled with the power of God, where you have miracles, signs, and wonders happening all the time. We had a great miracle this week. Somebody went to the hospital. With pneumonia. And a day later, out of the hospital, nothing there. By the prayers of the saints, by the word of God, because our faith is in Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus.
And Al's back pain is gone.
Al's back pain's gone. Amen. Hallelujah. We declare it. Won't even need a surgery. Won't even need a surgery. Two people that have completely gotten off all the drugs they were taking,
yes.
All the meds.
Yes.
Two. You might say, Pastor, that's me. I want to do it. All right. There's a very specific process. Make sure you contact us. Don't just quit your meds and say, there, I did it. But I want you to get a hold of me and say, help me know how they did that. Because you can't just do the physical. You got to do the physical and the spiritual at the same time. And that causes that victory. I've gone to preaching. Hold your communion elements up. I love this kingdom and I love who we are. Father, in the name of Jesus,
I
bless these elements
for
this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion,
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded
for my transgression.
For my transgression,
you were bruised.
You were bruised
for my iniquity.
For my iniquity,
the chastisement. For my peace, is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
There's nothing missing and nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint is supplied.
Every joint is supplied.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my
and
community.
Right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken bread body together. Thank you, Lord, that you endured the cross, despising the shame. Thank you. And now we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of
Every sin,
has been placed in remission
in my life.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly, to the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment
every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague.
Every
plague. Pass over my life.
Must pass over my
and
life.
Cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of
my conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. Hallelujah. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. It washes white as snow. Well, our hour of faith went just a little bit longer.
Really did, didn't it? It went so fast.
I'm telling you right now, it goes fast. And this word is burning in me. This is just burning me. Comfort one another with these words and shut the door on every bit of deception there is. And find out who you are in Christ Jesus. And stick to that. Every one of you here, man, do not sit at home bored any day. We need timestamps on every video we make so that anybody who comes can go right in and learn immediately on any of these lessons. Every one of you who are connected to this, you have a place in the ministry of God. If you don't know what you're called to do, I'm telling you right now, you're called to help me put timestamps in. Because that makes it so when people come, they're like, wow, look at this. And they're going to click on yours. And they're going to click on Sundays and on Mary's and on Francetta's, Brother Dave's, Brother Dan's, Rebecca Smith. They're going to click, say, what is Rebecca saying? And you'll click that and they'll be like, wow, man, that's true. And then what will they do? They'll back it up and they'll listen to it again. Why? Because that's how those timestamps work. I encourage every one of you. I encourage every one of you. You might say, Pastor, I just don't get it yet. Just so you know, I've found your calling. You're called to help me preach this gospel and to put in timestamps. What is it going to do? Two things. It's going to keep you focused on the word of God that we have here. It's going to start rooting out some areas where the enemy's trying to get you diversified and spread you out where you don't understand anything. It's going to get this work of this ministry done. It's going to make it so much more effective, and all of us are going to grow and develop in God as we listen to the message again and again and again. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. If you need help, please, 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 I need your help. Call me and say, Pastor, help me see it again. I will not be impatient with you. I love you, and I appreciate your help, anything you can imagine. We got to go because I'll just keep talking. Until we see you again, who knows? If we start getting updates, that just things happening around the world, I've not said I was going to do this, but just like our brother did with that update about Iraq, if we see things like this, then who knows? I might just jump on here again and do another one. I don't have a plan, but if what I see, I'm going to show you guys because we're going to take this thing to the end and we're going to reach everybody around us in Jesus' mighty name. All right. No more closes till we see you in. Remember, we don't have a program on Sunday nights. This is our night when we are studying and going and doing the things of God ourselves. Don't have a program tonight, but we'll see you tomorrow at noon, unless, of course, we see you in the air because Jesus came.
Hallelujah.
It's what we have to say. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
Wow. What a day. What a day. What a day. What a day. What a day.